And so, ladies and gentlemen, I want to welcome you. Of all our presentations, I want you to know that today's presentation is going to be one of the most beneficial. Do you know in Canada, the aging population, the baby boomers are getting up there. And many of us are not totally equipped to take care of our seniors. The quality of care for them. And so it is said that caregiving is a privilege, not a person. And the scripture says here, praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. 2 Corinthians 1, 3 and 4. Let us pray. Loving God, we are eternally grateful for life that you have blessed us with.
Amen.
We have been blessed with health and with strength. And in life, oh God, one day we may cross 70. Pray that you will give us the wisdom and the understanding to help our mothers and our fathers, those who cared so much, worked so hard to see that we grow up and we got an education and we got families. And sometimes they remain in the back pew languishing. In some home, shut away without any care. But I pray that you will bless us today as my wife present this finding that she have researched, oh God. And I pray that you will equip our people to do what we can to be a blessing to our seniors. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I want to say thanks to my husband. We have been presenting using the theme creating families, and we are saying creating healthy families as we walk with God. We have decided to make a special presentation this morning on the aspect of family involvement, which is a very wide topic. And why do I choose, or do we choose to present family involvement? Over the years, my area of study has been dealing with the older adults. And we don't use the term old people. We have to be politically correct. It's a positive journey. We hope that as we age positively. We age with love around us. We age with plans in place that will help us to live the sunset years of our lives with dignity. And so I have a special love in working with the older adults and in also educating elder caregivers as how we can best care for older adults with respect, dignity, and at the same time helping to maintain the quality of life. Now, I will be presenting different aspects, but I'll be focusing on the word family involvement, tell you more what that is about. I will also speak about what loneliness can lead to in the older adults. And when I use older adults or the older adult, it's referring to the same concept. But when I say the older adult, I sort of use this to individualize the person, because each older adult's needs and preference and wishes is different. We do not do a basket training or look at some, throw everybody in the same barrel and say what works for John is going to work for James. No, we come together in life with our different stories. We make our stories as we go along. And now we are hoping that we create stories that will help us in the sunset years of our lives. So this morning, as we look at creating healthy families as we walk with God, we are trying to maintain balance through family involvement. What do I mean by maintaining balance? Life is hectic. Sometimes we think we have it all under control, but it's not necessarily so. And we do not exist alone. Whether we like it or not, we exist as social groups. We build relationships, and family involvement is tied in so heavily with relationships, because it's what we make on life's journey that is going to help us. As I said, in the sunrise time of our lives, we build friendships. We establish good relationships with our children. And if we don't have biological children, we are parents in the house of Israel. And the thing about it is that as we build these relationships, it will either help us or break us. Now, I want to clarify one statement. When we talk about family involvement and we talk about the ideal situation, just rest assured that I and other healthcare workers, we are not naive to the fact that there are brokenness in families. And some families do not have good relationships because of broken bridges over the years, because of quarrels that were not mended. We, my husband, other health care givers, we're hoping by God's grace that we mend fences, that we break the barriers that destroy the connectedness between families. Because it is so important. Where are we going when we haven't spoken with each other because of being angry over the years? Where are we planning to go, walking in the sea of glass in heaven, and we are riddled with malice and envy and pain? No, we are alive. Let us create healthy families. Now, God's plan for us, he said, when I focus on the older adults, thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man and woman, and fear thy God, I am the Lord. His plan for us is that we respect, we take care of our older adults, we take care of mom and dad. I remember, and grandpa and grandma, I remember in some of my research, I came across a story of a young woman who had a bad time with her dad growing up, bad relationship. The fences, the bridges, the walls of health were broken down. And when her father was placed into a long-term care setting, she became very involved in his care. She took care of him, and sometimes you wonder, why would she do that? He treated her so badly. He was never around when she needed him at 16, when she needed him at 8 years old, and when she got married and had her own children. He was never there. But you know what she said? I am doing what I'm doing for my father, not because of who he is to me, but because of who I am to him. That is powerful. It did not say those words were said by an Anglican woman, a Methodist woman, a Seventh-day Adventist woman. It was said by a daughter. We don't know her name. But she was caring for someone who never cared for her, not because of who he was to her as a father, but because of who she is to him as a daughter. I hope we can use that as a stepping stone to mending the fences. Now, when we talk about balance, as we were saying, life has its ups and its downs, and it's hectic. And sometimes we feel the imbalances. There's no level of equilibrium. We are broken. We may look and walk erect because we practice to stand right and breathe well, but deep down emotionally, there is imbalance. What is your Ferris wheel like? The wheel of life is powerful because it gives you a vivid visual representation of the way your life is currently, compared with the way you ideally like it to be. It is called the wheel of life because each area of your life is mapped on a circle like the spoke of a wheel. They said that is when it takes a helicopter view. So you're standing and you're looking down at your life so that you can bring things back into balance. Without balance, we're going to be disjointed. We're unhappy. We have unfulfilled dreams. And no one can write your story better than you or change direction to where you want to go better than you. So when we recognize where we are right now and where we would like to be ideally, we have to make the changes. And that's why yesterday we appeal. If you don't have active family life ministries within your churches, just reach out and create something. And speak with your pastor, your family life director. Make some connection with us so that as we visit the different churches, you know your needs. We don't have to know exactly what is bothering you or what is helping you to be happy. It's good to share, but some people don't feel the need to trust and they're scared because their stories may go somewhere else. You don't have to say it. We just want to give you the tools that we have gathered over the years and that we continue to gain. The thing about it is that when you get the tools, you apply them. And when you, and I apply them, what will happen? We will create better and healthier families. Look at this Ferris wheel. Don't know, it's spinning. You go to the amusement park and it's taking different turns, and sometimes it's fast and most time it is very fast. How do you maintain balance in the Ferris wheel of life? And this morning, as I present, I'm saying we are hoping that we can use a family involvement to help you to maintain balance. What is family involvement? And what is the concept of family? As we said, family to the older adult or to anyone means different things. It could be someone, a biological family, a daughter, a niece, a nephew. It could be a neighbor down the street, as I said, or a milkman, or somebody who looks out for you. It's who you consider family. And so the person who is more so in your life, that helps you, that checks your mail for you, as opposed to a daughter who may be miles away or a son living in another part of Canada or out of Canada. But that person is in contact with you, whether by phone or emails or whether the internet, whatever you use, and that person brings you a sense of joy. That person you consider family. Within the institutional settings, like long-term care settings, we look at the participation of that person in activities such as visiting, socioeconomic care, the social needs are met. You're unable to do it for yourself. You may be in a wheelchair, or you may have other illnesses that prevent you from doing things you would like to do for yourself. So that person looks after your social needs, your economic needs. Check your bank account. Just look at things that will help you to keep you more comfortable while you're unable to do it for yourself. The person who advocates for you. This is a very important area, because sometimes we are of the belief that when we enter a long-term care setting, or whether it is in assisted living or in a senior's building, that you have no part in the care that you get. You have no part in what is prepared or planned for you. That is not so. You are a team player. Without you, how can we as caregivers do the best for your family member? Years ago when I was in Winnipeg, I was a staff development coordinator and assistant to the director of care. And I noticed we had a lovely lady. But she gets so scared when it thunders. She gets so scared when there's a storm. We couldn't figure out why and what is happening. And we remember speaking with the daughter. And she told us the story that when she was in her early teens, there was a terrible storm or tornado or something that happened in her life that still had the hold on her as she got older. So whenever it's storms, or whenever there's bad weather and you hear the thunder and the lightning, what we usually do, we would take her in a wheelchair and put her at the nursing station that she can see all of us as we walk by and say hello. And that helped to calm her. If we were unable to take her from her room, we would have somebody sit beside her. And that helped. How would we know that if we didn't have a relationship or partnership in the care of that daughter with the rest of the healthcare team? You have a part to play, because when you give us the stories, you know the life stories, you help us to create care that will help in the quality of life of the senior. And it says also that other care includes grooming, hair combing, and assisting with feeding when the older adult is unable to do so. Partnership in care. It's pooling and using information, as I just mentioned, gathered by the formal care team and the family member for better care delivery. It's also sharing activities with mutual understanding and respect, and working together for a common goal. Your goal is to see mom well taken care of, to see dad well taken care of. Dad was able to get up and go golfing, visit the neighbors. He's unable to do it now, but I could bring in some DVDs for him to look at and put a smile on his face. It is important that when we share activities for the mutual goal, then we can establish quality of life. Family involvement and partnership with formal caregivers. Currently, there is no understanding of family members' perception of their role and its influence, on the life of their loved ones. And you may say Gogler and Nolan in 204, 205 says that. Research that I've done up until 210, 212, we still have no deeper knowledge of where we stand as family members. So it is important that we spread the good news that you are an extension of the caregivers team. It is important for nurses and other healthcare providers to establish environments that create opportunities for understanding families and the importance of their involvement. One of the things is that we may have all the tools. We are supposed to create an environment that when you visit, you feel welcome. Now, there are some family members, it's very difficult to understand where they're coming from because we don't know their stories. Some may be absentee daughters or sons, and when their mom or dad gets ill and is placed in a long-term care setting, we don't know. Guilt may step in and they feel that they should have been doing more. So now is the opportunity to do more, but the time that they need to do more conflicts with the time that the health caregivers need to do care. So if there's not dialogue, if there's not explaining and building relationship, then what do you have? Conflict. It is for us, therefore, when we meet at the first entrance of someone moving into a senior's accommodation, it's for us to discuss, plan care. It's not you against me. It's us as a team. So when we talk and we share, you have an idea, you have an input, and that will help to establish better relationships. Now, family members connect the older adult to the community and what is meaningful to them, and that is also helping with quality of life. Family members are determined to prevent their relatives from literally disappearing or going into hiding because of dementia. Now, I mentioned two things here, quality of life and dementia. And one of the things that we said is that we connect our older adults with the community. Mom is unable to go to the local recreation area in the community that she was. But when I visit mom, when you visit mom, you can tell her that, oh, the tea party they had was beautiful and much love is sent. The children now, they have a new playground. You keep mom connected. You read the newspaper to dad. The family member is valuable in areas like this. And as I said, the whole myth and taboo and idea that families desert their loved ones once they're placed in long-term care facilities or in seniors complex is not so. Families do not desert on the whole. Some do because, as we said, some relationships are not good. So older adults have now become the fathers and the mothers of even caregivers. So we have become surrogate family members and friends. Friends are taking a very powerful stand in not allowing their older friends to suffer. So they visit, even though they are not as strong. But they visit and they maintain social contact. I mentioned the word dementia. And I'll just mention that some more. But in relation to quality of life, is the aspects of personal identity, aspirations, purposeful activity, leisure pursuits, and personal growth. These are emphasized in the person's quality of life. Now, if I ask somebody, what does quality of life mean to you? What does quality of life mean to you? Anyone? Don't be scared. This is we're sharing and we're growing. What is quality? Yes. Oh, you need a mic. Do we have a mic? Thank you. What does quality of life mean to you?
Don't be afraid. Just say it.
I believe quality of life means when they are still able to interact and to be able to appreciate, even if they can't interact, if they can still have the mental capacity to appreciate when you come to visit or, and be able to respond in some way.
Yes. Anyone else? What does quality of life mean to you?
To be able to do as much for yourself as possible.
To be able to?
To do as much for yourself.
Very good. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Anyone else? Now, do as much as you can. You want to say something? Any quality of life? Thank you.
To me, it means purposeful activity. Something that means something. It's a help to the community, help to my family.
Thank you. So quality of life means different things to different people. And that is acceptable, and we can understand because we are different. We are individuals. And remember, the aim is that we are not doing a basket care. We are not throwing everybody in and say what works for one works for the other. We look at your individual life. The quality of life is for you to get out and take a walk each morning. But now you're in a long-term care facility and you can't get out because you have to wait on someone to do that for you. Not because you're in a wheelchair, but for safety. Now that will reduce your quality of life somewhat. So what you may do, you may take long walks in the corridors so that it gives you a sense that you can do for yourself. And the loss of independence really reduces the quality of life. So it is important that when we get older, as we share with our loved ones and share with our families, they know what we would like. Because the next thing I'm going to mention is dementia. Dementia is not a disease. It is a collection of symptoms, or they call it a syndrome. Dementia is the loss of your ability to do, they call it executive thinking, make decisions. And what dementia does is that it comes in different stages. And you know, we forget things. As we get older, we forget. We forget the keys. We forget where we put them. But if we now plan to have a spot in the house where we put it, that will help us because remember the keys there. The concern, however, is that when you forget the keys for many days, if we forget and we remember somewhat later in the day, wow, I forgot again. It gets scary. But when you cannot remember for days, and when we sometimes mask this in the early dementia, you forget things and we don't want anyone to know. And sometimes we withdraw and we stop talking because they'll find out sooner that things are not really going right. But the important thing is that the person who has dementia is unable to do and think and carry out normal activities of daily living, getting dressed, grooming well. That person also is expected to be cared for in every aspect to maintain the quality of life of the individual. So when we think that because we get old, we are just discarded and life is not important, no. So what we do now in creating the environment for us to achieve quality of life, it is so important. I've told my husband, and my children, that it's okay. I believe in long-term care. Just find a nice place if you're unable to take care of me. Because many of us think we can take care of the older adult through all the stages and changes in the aging process, and we are not able to. So we become frustrated, and we do not give the care we should. Yet we don't let go because we feel guilty, because that means I'm deserting mom or dad. It is not necessarily so. You find a good place. You visit mom and dad. You keep mom and dad in the community as long as you're able to. If you can afford to get somebody to come and sit, somebody to visit, that's fine. Take turns with a mom or with a brother or sister, that's fine. But if you're unable to meet other needs and you are in a sandwich relationship with your children, find the best way you can maintain the quality of life of mom and dad without feeling guilty. Because guilt, it's really terrible. You'll get depressed. And I tell you, when you become guilty and you express frustration, it worsens how you feel. And you're not helping the situation. It's like a sad cycle. Now, threats to the older adult's quality of life. Illness, we talk about dementia, existing a new onset. Loss of independence. Loss of the ability to self-care. Relocation from what is familiar. Interruption from what really matters. Now, relocation is a very important area to look at. Because our children may have moved to different provinces or different countries, and you have been, or we have been in our homes for years, but because we're unable to take care of ourselves at a certain point in life, our children think it is best to move to their home. And you know what that does for us? I'm going to include myself, because I am not getting younger. I may be getting better, but with better comes older also. But the point is that moving to your children's home or homes is maybe not the best, because you are now placed, or we will now be placed, into a different zone that has lost, we have lost our comfort zones. We don't have Mrs. Jones who lived down the road. At least I couldn't walk to her front door, but I could stay and wave to her. We don't have the familiarity of going down to the store and seeing people we know. We're moved into a different area, and so we withdraw. So what I'm saying, look into your family. So make plans while you're able to do it, not when somebody has to do it for you. So that when times like that come upon us, we will be placed or given the opportunity to be put into the best position possible. And as I said, dementia is cognitive impairment or loss of executive function and the ability, loss of the ability to take care of ourselves. Now I'm going to ask you the question. Are you lonely? You don't have to answer. But are you lonely? Many of us may be with families and friends. They talk about qualitative loneliness and quantitative loneliness. We may be with lots of people, and deep down we're lonely. Loneliness is terrible. I've been in the community. I've been to the homes of older adults. And they live alone. Where is your son? Where is your daughter? They live across many miles. I won't see them until 2-3 months. You see, we have 4 children, and it's 6 of us at any time. Now they're scattered in school, 2 at Andrews University presently, and we have 2 at home. But can you imagine when you don't hear the sound of Rennie or Jameel and Rachel and Janelle in the home? You don't hear Jameel playing his guitar, my husband playing his harmonica. He plays. Shh. Yes. You don't hear those sounds, and you get up in the morning and you try to get to the stove, and it's lonely. Loneliness is terrible. and you don't know who he's going to visit or when next. When it gets dark with loneliness, our God is the light of the world. When it seems like there is no way, our God is the way maker. Have you reached a dark spot on the road? Are you toiling in the night? Be of good cheer. Help is on the way. The sadness of loneliness. You see the next slide? We talk about the statistics now. Old adults have high rates of suicide worldwide, including in Canada and the US. This is frightening. This is startling. But it happens, and it is happening. Currently, over 4.3 million Canadians aged 65 and older. One out of seven Canadians is a senior citizen. In 2006, seniors accounted for a record high of 13.7% of the total population. It is also projected to increase from 4.38 million. Their share of the population is expected to increase from 13.2% to 21.2%. And baby boomers have high rates of suicide. The face of long-term care is also changing because of baby boomers, because they're used to a different lifestyle and they're not settling for less. So it's not that you're going to say you are going to be in that nursing home, which is nursing home, the term is used a lot, is used predominantly in the United States. We look at long-term care settings here, making it politically correct. But we're saying that baby boomers, they're now changing how long-term care settings look. There are some places, if you don't have money, you can't go in. You just can't afford it. There are little villas. They are like some or $5,000 per month. You have your own chef. I was a director of one of those luxurious homes. So the thing about it is that as things change and the view of how I want to age change, I will decide how I want to age. But I tell you something, when you can't decide that, when you're lonely and depressed and feel there's no one who cares, older adults are resorting to suicide. What are we doing with our families as we walk together with Jesus? Are we reaching out to the seniors in the community? Are we visiting the care homes just to read a poem to someone who sits in a wheelchair and rocks all day without someone coming to hold, touch, love? And as my husband is saying, they built the campgrounds, they contribute dollars to take us to where we are. What are we doing? 7 years ago, I started, my husband and myself, but I was the director of this lovely seniors complex, and I started Sunday praise service. Did I say 7 years ago? We are still going, and we have never missed a third Sunday. To God be the glory. We have a pool or a group of volunteers who come. We have our organist, our pianist. We have our singer, a nurse friend of ours, Carlin. She sings. Her husband is also a nurse, and we go there. We have the elders, the first elder, the other elders, and we have never missed a third Sunday. Rain, storm or sunshine. It's a commitment. So coming here and sharing with you, it's not because we have just accepted the role of family life directors, but because it is important that we do so. This is our passion. And when you have a passion, you'll give more. Life means more. And the lives of others mean more to you. Now, the World Health Organization estimates that approximately 1 million lives are lost to suicide worldwide every year. Suicide is a leading cause of preventable deaths that accounts for more deaths annually than homicide and war combined. Isn't that frightening? Every day, every death by suicide leaves at least 6 survivors. This is frightening. As we create healthy families walking with God, let us not be cliquish, then I would say. It's just my family. I am fine. My children are fine. Fine. I don't need to worry about anyone else. No. As we spread the good news of salvation, as we bring Christ to brokenness, others may say, my life is important. I don't have to take it. I may not be able to get to the fridge or the refrigerator as fast as I used to. But I know of a man who died on Calvary so that through him I may have life and have it more abundantly. We bring hope. Don't keep it to ourselves. Reach out to our seniors who are lonely. They're struggling. All they need sometimes is to hear the words, we love you. We care about you. I will see you Tuesday. You know they may put Tuesday, mark Tuesday on the refrigerator. Or they may put it somewhere they can see it. Somebody's coming to see me Tuesday. They look forward to that moment. In the long-term care and what the Alzheimer's Society, we use the term linking the moments of joy. Do you know what that means? Here we have an older adult sitting in the wheelchair. No family members or we're too busy to stop. But when we link the joys, I pass, good morning, Mrs. Brown. Another nurse passes, good morning, Mrs. Brown. Mrs. Brown puts a smile on her face because somebody's smiling back. You link the joy, like every 10 minutes, somebody's saying something kind to Mrs. Brown. We call linking the moments of joy. So that person does not feel isolated and feel lonely, even though that person is among many. Now, did you know? Old adults have among the highest rate of suicide worldwide. In Canada, men over the age of 80 have the highest rate of suicide. The majority of older adults who die by suicide have seen a frontline healthcare provider in the prior month. They've been to their doctors, they've been to the clinic. How are you? I'm fine. It's hard, but I'm getting there, and mask, and the pain is not passed on. A month later, they've taken their life. It is sad. We have the blessed hope. And I'm going to say, if you're feeling low, if you're feeling blue, there's never been a burden that the Lord could not lighten, a problem that the Lord could not solve, a difficulty that the Lord could not resolve, loneliness that the Lord could not comfort. There's never been a battle that the Lord could not fight, a weakness that the Lord could not strengthen, a question the Lord could not answer. Speak to Him. Reach out. There's never been a situation that the Lord could not handle. Go and visit another older person. Let them know there is a God, and He will take them through. Families may desert, families may be there. Whatever is happening, God is able. My summary in the concept of partnership, what I would like to pass on, is that partnership between families and healthcare providers is a gateway to the future care of older adults in long-term care settings and even in the community. And in the light of ongoing challenges in the healthcare system, family involvement will greatly impact admission to hospitals. It will impact in the sense that you've been doing so well taking care of mom. You'll recognize a broken area, the development of an ulcer before it gets too bad. Because when it gets bad, it takes a long time to heal. You will also notice that mom is not doing too well with her walker and she may need something else. You can get that fixed. So what we do when we are seen the needs and deal with them, mom or dad can stay in their homes as long as is possible because that improves their quality of life. My personal philosophy in my thesis work, my master's work, there is a need for a change in our thinking and approach to healthcare, to one that collaboratively, working together, seeks to unite the skills and expertise of families with a long-term care system, thereby enabling effective partnership through family involvement in the care of the older adult. Now, as you look at the sunset years of your life, my life, I hope that the branches here, the branches of the trees will reflect the input of the families around us. I know it's not easy to balance our lives. Can you imagine that big elephant? And you're trying to balance that car. He's over it. It is not easy to balance your life. But we are to be good stewards. We are to take one day at a time, regardless of our troubles, regardless of our brokenness, and hand it over to God. We're supposed to support each other as we create families, healthy families. The wheel of your life may not be like the Ferris wheel that is moving so fast, but we have to balance, and we all experience some aspect of the wheels of life. God's plan for us as we walk with Him is that He wish above all things that we may prosper and be in good health, even as our soul prospered. We may have high blood pressure. We may have the heart giving some problem. Things will happen to us. But His wish for us is that we prosper. As we continue to walk with Jesus, He will embrace us. He will lift us. He will hold us. No need to take our lives. He will take care of us. God will supply all our needs. When we ask God for water, He has the ability to give us the ocean. You can say, using the I term, I asked God for a flower. He gave me a garden. Isn't that nice? I'm at Garden Road Seventh Adventist Church. Beautiful fellowship. I asked God for a friend. He gave me all of you, my family. If God brings you to it, remember, He will bring you through it. As we walk with Jesus, remember the best is yet to come. So in our happy moments, let us praise God. In our difficult moments, let us seek God. In our quiet moments, worship Him. Painful moments, trust God. Every moment, whatever it is, thank God. If you are suffering from a terminal illness, the best is yet to come. If you come from a broken past, if you're going through brokenness at the moment, whatever it is, loss of a job, illness, children or who are not listening at this point and you're worried about them, divorce, mental issues, if you come from a broken past and any of the things I've listed, the best is yet to come. If you've been through financial reverses, it was once good, but now it's all bad. I'm in the process of losing my home. Where do I go from here? I still say to you, the best is yet to come. If you're struggling with guilt, that's powerful emotion. The best is yet to come. If some sit has gripped you and imprisoned you, the best is yet to come. Because God has promised that He will wipe away every tear from our eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. The best is yet to come. Look at Him. He gave His life for you, and He gave His life for me. Go tell a senior who is lonely. Go tell someone who is broken. As we create healthy families, Remember, the best is yet to come, and it's going home as we prepare and continue to walk with Him. May God help each and every one of us that we reach out to our seniors, reach out to your parents, mend brokenness. Husbands and wives, create what you want the end to be. You have the opportunity today. Let's use it wisely as we walk with Him. Questions?
And so, I believe this is a part in our church that is lacking. Where our seniors are concerned. This campground was built by seniors. From Winnipeg, Manitoba, as I worked there, I used to always appreciate the seniors. And one year is going to come, and the next year I wouldn't see them. You learn to love them because I've always been up front, and I would come and meet some and talk to them and embrace them because I respect seniors totally. And the care that my wife and myself, you know, we go to this nursing home. I mean, it's a nursing home for millionaires, not for people like me.
Long-term care home.
And some will come down and they're ready to go to work, but they have no work to go to. And I am praising God that in this conference, as we continue to look for our seniors, you notice each, the end of our camp meeting, we scroll some names of individuals. Mm-hmm. We want to remember them because they were the ones who work untiringly. Now, when I came here, I went into a cabin. I never built that cabin. Maybe some senior built that cabin and may have gone, but I am in that cabin today. And we must never forget those who have gone. I remember, I think it was Sabbath when Elder Weeb, and they were talking about the history of this camp.
Yeah.
And it was so good and so refreshing to hear it so we could remember those of our seniors. So on behalf of this conference and family life, I just want to say thank you. If you have a loved one who is at home, who used to be at camp meeting, but just cannot come because of circumstances, you go to them and say, thank you. Tell them on behalf of the conference, thank you. And I hope that all our pastors, all of our pastors will find the time to visit them in the farm, to visit them in their homes, to visit them in a long-term care facility, just to say thank you. Just to say thank you. And I, when we have done it, I know all of us will be able to hear from the Lord, well done. Well done, thou good
and
faithful servant. When we listen to statistics that in Canada, when you hit over 80, the suicide rate, I pray to God it's not in our church because we have a loving church. So for the seniors in the church, have seniors day.
Yes.
Have a special meal for seniors. Let them know how much you appreciate them. Now my wife say I play the harmonica, you know, I just pick it up and play, and you know why I wanted to play? I wanted to play, and the seniors appreciate it. The young people know I'm missing notes, so the young people, but the seniors, they'll say, oh, Pastor, you're good. Now I know I'm not good, but when they say I'm good, I feel I'm good. You know, with the seniors, they have reached a point they're never critical on you. They just love you for who you are. And do you know I get more blessing in my ministry by visiting with them and sitting and talking with them. I'm more blessed than they. Just showing up and they always want to give me something. Pastor, oh God, you don't know the joy.
Mm-hmm.
So to all our seniors, I want you to know we love you. I want you to know this conference loves you. I just want you to know that.
Mm-hmm.
Because this conference cares about you. That's why they're looking at this kind of ministry.
Mm-hmm.
So we could propel and we could move from church to church and remind our people that you're not just a statistic.
Mm-hmm.
You're not a statistic. You're part of the family of God. And we have taken on this ministry, and by the grace of God, we'll move it and propel it to different churches
mm-hmm.
so we could focus on the family. You have a strong family, we're going to have strong churches. We have weak families, we'll have weak churches. And once we have strong family, we'll have strong conferences. So I pray by the grace of God that as we advertise this seminar and people come, they will be blessed and they could use some of these tools in their own churches and in their own homes. Now I know this is a time my wife will give you to ask some questions, and she's the expert in this. I just try to fill in the blank on this, but she's the expert, and I'm sure you have some questions about loved one, about yourself, what to do and how to do it. And we could get some answers today by the grace of God. So let me see the first person who's the bravest. I know
question, comment, question. Anything you have to. Yes.
I want to just say that God has used me to work with young children all my life, young people. And then God took me to a senior home to do ministry. And I did ministry there. I gave services there 3 Sundays in a row. Mm-hmm. And I used to go downstairs also, which none of the other pastors that went there to minister, to the dementia patients. And they would be so delighted. I used to feel so sorry for the farmers that would come to town, and they were in a senior home now, and we'd start singing, and they would just cry and cry and cry, and they'd hold our hands, and I'd go around touching them and telling them how much I love them, and they were just so delighted. And it's so very, very sad now in that senior home, because they don't have enough workers now, so they can't bring the patients to a gathering so we can go and sing with them. I also do memorials in another senior home in Medicine Hat, and the seniors are just so, so excited. And just like you say, as long as you're there, just saying hi to them, touching them, and you know, they just absolutely love it. And I feel exactly the same as you. I believe that we have to be out there with our seniors and just show them how much we love them.
Thank you. Thanks.
There is a time coming, and I know you alluded to this, that there isn't enough care in the seniors' home for the people. And I believe that if families aren't involved, there will be even more sad endings. And I really believe, having worked in seniors' homes most of my life, in one capacity or another, that we really need to be there. We need to be there for our parents, for our loved ones.
Amen.
You know, even if you just go and take some cookies or something, you know, a lot of these senior homes now, the food that they get, it's not the same as what they had at home. And even just a home-baked little item is often very, very special. So I just encourage you to get out there and to be involved. And I'm sure that we're speaking to the choir.
Cheryl, our church goes there every...
Yeah, our church does go to Riverview, I think. Dad started it way back when.
And we're still
doing it.
Thank you so much. The point you mentioned...
That's Dad beside you there.
The point you mentioned about encouraging family members to visit, one of the things we have learned and have experienced is that when families see our daughters or sons, but I'm going to use the broad term families, when families see their loved one not being able to communicate as they once did, they feel that they don't recognize me anyway, so why bother? And it's so distressing to see Dad looking like that and Mom looking like that. So the families, they draw back. We are encouraging, and we have encouraged families. It's not about you. It may sound harsh. And as I said before, it's not about you feeling whether embarrassed or I can't cope with it. And it's not at the same time negating or not understanding what you're going through. But see if you can just brace your back and put Mom and Dad first It's about mom. It's about dad. Mom is the one who now has surrogate families through caregivers who we pray will be kind, because there are some caregivers who are so loving. You'd think that they are real daughters and or biological daughters and sons. But there are others too, may have their own brokenness and not able to give to your mom and dad. They may give the care, but there is something different about care versus caring with the heart. So when you visit too, you show that mom and dad isn't alone. And there's somebody who has a voice if we fail to do what we're supposed to do. So you give mom and dad an edge. It is sad that it has to come to that, but it helps. So your presence speaks volumes. So when you reach out to mom and you take a cookie or you bring mom's favorite juice or something, whether mom can have a full glass or a half glass, mom has your presence. So it is important. Don't hide away. Just hug and enjoy mom's presence, because it's linking the moments of joy that will improve and enhance the quality of life in our seniors. Any other comment? I need one more.
Yes, and if we don't have a mom or dad, adopt one.
Yes. At Parkman, a personal care home that I, in Winnipeg where I work, also a church-affiliated long-term care, and Pastor Wee was there that before? Yes.
I didn't see it here.
Park Manor, we know. One of the things, we started an intergenerational program. And many long-term care settings are doing that or have done that. We started that, and we have would have children coming in on certain days just to come and sing for the older adults. I would bring my children in. And they would go and meet, adopt a grandparent. And it is beautiful because it's therapy. Like animals and, you know, petting a cat or a dog, it's a therapy. We also had a cat in the home. And we have special days when this lovely, beautiful dog doesn't know the name of the dog, but it is one of the most beautiful dogs I've ever seen. Oh, the air is beautiful, would come. And that's a trained therapeutic dog, would come, and the residents would pat the dog and, you know, have that. So our presence and what we do, you don't have a grandparent, you don't have a mom or a dad, adopt one. And take your children, if it's at all possible, wherever it's, you know, when you speak with the long-term care setting.
There's a senior.
Somebody wants to say
come
something.
Down. There's a senior while you're coming down.
Yes.
Go ahead. Oh, yeah.
It's the mic.
We have lived in the community for 40 years, and we drive by our neighbors' homes, and we know our neighbors. Now, some of these neighbors are in the local lodge, and they ask, you know, they're happy we drop in when we're there for sunshine bands. But they said, just come more often. Just,
yes.
But, you know, they still want to know how we're farming and what's going on. So I was thinking, yeah, we should really try to do better at that. Like,
yes.
Bring my husband, because she always asks for him.
Thanks. But do you know that we have enough people, brothers and sisters in our churches? If we scatter ourselves around, we just need about 5 persons. We have about 10 or 12 in our group. But if we have about 5 or 6, just to go and sing. And we have, my husband, he does most of the preaching, and we have sermonettes.
It's 10 minutes.
10
but
minutes?
Most of the singing. And when we
yes.
sing, this train is bound for glory.
Yes.
Now, these folks are well off. And when we sing, this train is bound for glory, this train, and they put up their hand.
Toot,
whoop,
toot.
Whoop.
And that is our theme song for the past little 7 years. So what we do, we sing, and the group goes up at the end, and each volunteer has a turn to say something. We make the program in parts. 10 minutes here with singing, 10 minutes here with words of wisdom, and 10 minutes for it. It's beautiful. And God is so good. Brother?
But you know, in this setting, we should not forget grandchildren. Grandchildren need to be with their grandparents. And I had a good experience yesterday. I went to High River. Mm-hmm. I went with a group that was sanitizing a home. And while we were working in that basement, my granddaughter, who is almost 12, said to me after we worked for about an hour and a half, "Grandpa, you need to take a rest because my heart capacity is very low. I've had a heart attack and I'm running on very little steam." Aww. So she says, "Grandpa, you need to take a rest." And that is nice coming from a grandchild.
Thank you. My study some years ago, one of my studies was done in pet animal, the Eden Alternative, having plants and animals, and also with grandchildren. The important thing is, you want to see older adults' face just lit up with joy, just see a little grandchild running, and the hug, it's beautiful. Those eyes of love.
And that's why we call it the family of God.
Yes.
Family life ministry encompasses every aspect of the family. Oh, you got a mic.
Yes. Thank you.
Well, my father was in Sherwood Park Care. I used to take him outside, and behind, where the church is, there's this beautiful lake, or just, you know, water, and lots of geese. And he enjoyed that. And another thing, I think as long as one can take them out of their facility to your home, if possible. Sometimes it gets to the place where it's not possible, but they also enjoy that very much.
It's because we have weekend programs in some homes, and once you're able to, it's beautiful. They see another surrounding, as you said, the change of scenery. And it's important you take for a walk, take your older adult for a walk, take them to the shopping mall because they see people. It is so beautiful. So what, as I said, whatever is you're able to do, do it. It may seem little, it may seem unimportant, but it means the world to the person who is receiving that level of love and attention.
And so we are going to...
If there's anyone else.
If there's anyone else, we're going to... Okay.
Okay.
I was waiting for you, you know. All week I've been waiting for you.
Okay.
And now you're ready. Well, we got to perk up our ears and listen.
Yes.
My husband passed away a year ago, last May. You knew Pastor Wrigley. And my children, especially the two girls that were closest, could come. They came every day for 2 months, the last 2 months of him being here. And they came every day, and I would put on maybe potatoes or macaroni or something, and they'd bring the rest of the supper. And then they would take their dad out for a little spin on the wheelchair. And when he passed away, it wasn't very long until my youngest daughter got diabetes, sore toes, and had an amputation. And now she's had part of her leg amputated. But it seems like her being sick and me running to her now is a real blessing, because it seems like we're just trading off. You know, first they take care of us and then we take care of them. So it's been a real blessing, and now she's looking forward to a prosthesis. And I'm still driving. That's the thing that's going to mean a lot when I can't drive anymore.
That's an aspect of your quality of life, being able to drive.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you.
We're sorry to hear of the losses, and God, as I said, the best is yet to come,
but
as we embrace each other.
You sat down here. Where would we be without God?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You still found time to come.
Yes.
To camp meeting.
Yes.
Amen.
And praise God. Mm-hmm. You drove yourself down. There's something about this camp meeting then.
To God be the glory.
Praise God.
Yes.
And that's what I've been saying.
Can you repeat?